Third microphone that didn't play well with others. This is a very special episode and we wanted to share it, even with a few audio blemishes. We hope you enjoy it and we'll be back with more next week.
Hey, welcome to the newest installment of Motorcycles and Misfits at Recycle Garage. We're switching it up this week. My name is Doug. I've got Megan.
Hey.
Zoe.
Hey.
And Liza.
Hello.
This week we're going to focus a little bit on Liza and her history. Here we go. Regarding the Recycle Garage, how long ago did you know this is what you wanted to do?
I wanted to do this. Douglas, it goes way back when I was in my near 20s, and I was a rider. Well, I mean, I knew since I was a little kid I wanted to ride. I mean, you know, bikers know they're bikers usually at a young age. But it was when I was in my 20s, and I moved cross country to Boston, and I picked up a cheap motorcycle and rode the piss out of that thing year round. And I couldn't afford to fix it when something went wrong, and I met this guy, I think, in a bar named Jens or something. You know, you just start talking to somebody, and he knew a lot about bikes and offered to help me with mine to make it run better. I think he like maybe heard me outside or something, pointed out some things that were wrong, and I never really rushed for that. So I'd go over to his shop, and he helped me tune up the carburetors. They had to get a tow truck and lift the car up to drag my bike out. And I still rode it home with the throttle cable in one hand and the spark plug cap in the other hand, holding it together, and just using my wrist to steer and pulling the throttle cable. And I still had my laundry basket on the gas tank, and I limped it home getting shocked the whole way. And then just being devastated, and I called that guy Jens, and he came to look at me and he goes, "It's fucked. Like, I think like things like forks were bad, frame was bad, stuff like that." And I was just devastated because I couldn't afford a new bike. So because he had helped me so much with that, I just gave it to him. And I figured because the motor was still good and he had done so much to help me. But then I got a call from somebody who had heard my situation like the next day, and they said, "Well, there's an old abandoned bike behind my apartment building if you want to check it out. Same make, year, model."
Oh, wow.
Another KZ400. And he helped me get that running. And then I rode that until I got other bikes. And then I moved to Atlanta, and I wasn't as shy about working on bikes. I think everyone needs that little push, shown some tools, you know, and then you get more.
Yeah, I did it, definitely.
Yeah, you definitely get more confidence about digging in. And I was like, I had a bike, some bikes, but I remember somebody had a KZ750 that they had had since college in their parents' garage, and I talked them out of it. Just been sitting there a long time. That was the first bike that I had to go through the brakes and the carburetors and, you know, go through everything, and got it fixed up. And I ended up selling it to this group of women who were in a motorcycle club for $500, just what I had into it, because they were gifting it to one of their members who had lost her bike. They all pulled together $500. Interestingly enough, years later, I joined that club, and she was still riding that bike, that KZ750. I had this pride in that, like, I did that. I rescued this bike from a garage, and, you know, like, you know, we do now, like, you're taking the pipes off and WD-40 and steel wool, mm-hmm. and just going through everything and learning how to lube cables. And that was the first time I realized that you can take an old bike that's just been forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And fix it up. I then got a CB750 from somebody, same thing. I think battery died, and then they let it sit, and then the carb needed to be cleaned, and then he got a quote from a shop. And
it doesn't take much for someone to abandon
a motorcycle. Right, it was way too much. Now he was moving, didn't want to deal with it. He worked with a friend of mine who said, he said, if you just show up with a truck, you can have it.
Cool.
Great. CB750, Super Sport. I wish I didn't know that much about it at the time, but same thing. Went through it all, fixed it up. There's pictures of that bike over there. I mean, that was cool. And that's when I like told myself out of pain. Like every bike, you kind of get a little more
right
into it. And then I moved here to, I started buying nicer bikes. I had BMWs, GPZs, the Roadster, the GB500, things that didn't really need work except for like, ooh, let's put drag bars on the Roadster, you know, stuff like that.
I'm kind of curious, how many years have you been like working on motorcycles at that point, like to where you graduated to more sophisticated bikes?
Well, I wasn't working on them. I was buying running bikes that I didn't need to work on.
Okay.
And let me tell you, you try working on like an RT1100 and change the battery out, you have to disassemble half the bike to get to it. But that is when I was getting more into like adventure riding, doing touring, and broke out of the just riding it back and forth to work that a lot of people start, you know?
Yeah.
And then I started meeting social groups and stuff. But when I moved here to Santa Cruz, I had all these nice bikes. So when I moved here, I had the GPZ 1100, the RT 1100 BMW, the Roadster 1600, and I'm missing one. I had the GB. Bless you.
Sorry.
Get out.
The GB 500. So I had all these like awesome bikes that needed nothing. And
except for storage.
Right. So then that's when
When was that you moved to California?
It was 10 years ago.
10 years ago. And yeah. this particular spot?
I started out at another apartment working out of a tiny garage, but it wasn't that long after that I moved here, and my dad was actually using this garage. All right, so I did want to describe briefly. The garage we are in is over 100 years old. And it's kind of like the Winchester Mystery Garage.
Which has been recently resupported.
That's why the entrance is 5 foot.
I've hit my head on the entrance at least 30 times, I think.
Yeah, for those of you who can't see, there's actually yellow tape.
Yeah, but see, it's deceiving because if you bend your head to go under the yellow tape, I've noticed that I have a tendency to pop back up, and there's a second beam right after.
You think you'd learn after hitting your head 30 times, but...
I hit my head, Megan, I can't remember anymore. It's a bit of a problem.
Actually, the more you hit your head...
So when I moved to this house here, and my parents own this whole property, so... This garage, my dad used for storage. It had a gravel floor, cobwebs. He had
possums.
Chicken wire down the middle. He had his old antique car store here. And on this side, he stored appliances for all the apartments, refrigerators and stuff like that, under a tarp. It was just not usable. So then I just, you know, batted my own blue eyes. Daddy, can I have the garage?
And did you have stuff like tools and equipment to put in there at that time?
Yeah, I had the toolbox. I had been building up. So I should preface it by saying when I was in Atlanta, I didn't have a garage, but I had a wood shop, and I built furniture. And then I'd try and roll my motorcycle into the wood shop to do work on it. Oil and sawdust is not good combination.
A metal shop and a wood shop don't mix.
Yeah. So then when I moved here, I decided to sell all my wood shop tools and have a mechanic garage. So that's when I started saying, you know, like, what do you want for Christmas this year? I want a set of ball tip Allens and a T-handle in American and metric. Like, I just started listing tools. That was my go-to for everything. And my dad laid down the concrete for me and gave me this wonderful space, which had nothing on the walls, Now,
it's hard to imagine nothing on these walls, so they're just packed with stuff.
Go ahead and do a 360 quick description of the garage here.
Okay, well, there's a motorcycle racing posters and movie posters all over the place. There's shelves with helmets. There's a Spice Girls poster. There's hanging from the rafters Easter egg baskets from our Easter egg hunt. There's motorcycle parts. There's photos. There's an old truck tailgate on the wall. You guys are sitting on the couch, which is an old van seat from the 70s. The library is a bunch of shelves with just tons of books, all different stuff. We've got handlebars hanging up above. There's two walls covered with my miniature motorcycles.
I noticed some of them are upside down.
Yeah, I did that.
You did that?
Yeah. I did that on purpose.
Okay.
See if anyone was paying attention.
So you actually had to take off the plexiglass. Turn them upside down and then put the plexiglass back on?
I found it that way. And in a rage, I took the plexiglass off and fixed them. And then I thought I like it better that way. And I took it off and did it and put them back.
It's a little bit of feng shui, I think.
Yeah. So I use those when kind of teaching people just examples of different bikes. There's a refrigerator. There's two workbenches. There's welding. There's a vise.
I call this the shelf of fire. If any fire starts in this thing, it's going to be this shelf right here.
That would be all the lubricants.
Solubles and lubes and paints and...
Basically, I've used every square inch of this place. There's stuff. I always tell people if you can't find what you're looking for, look up.
And then, of course, the bikes.
Oh, yeah. I got the SR500 and the CB750 SOHD Cafe Racer and the XS750 Flat Tracker. And right now, two of the Trail 70s in here. And then the Versus lives in here. There's tool cabinets everywhere. Just things. And then because of the recycle theme, and we always like to just reuse stuff, we've saved like old headlight buckets and mm-hmm. pipes from...
This place would be perfect for like an I Spy book.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like inside of a Hard Rock Cafe.
There's bearings everywhere, there's gas tanks, and then there's the room next to us too, which has your tiger cub.
Yes. My personal side room.
Mm-hmm. And then there's some other storage in there too.
So I just started, I brought my bikes in here, and I started building a mechanic garage for me. And then I wanted projects out of all these great running bikes. And I spotted that old CB750, the 79 DOHC, in one of my friend's front yards. It had been spray-painted burgundy, it had no chain, it was rusted, it was a nasty-looking old bike that had just been left there. And I said, can I have it? Sure, you know. Because I just wanted a project. Something in a wrench because all my other bikes were perfect. And brought it home, and Mike Muse helped me with that. I don't know if you know him.
We had met him.
A friend of mine. He came down, and we kind of Frankensteined it together, and I pulled stuff out of the rafters, like my old RT seat and an extra Ducati exhaust, and for about $500 got that thing customized, you know, running rattle cant. And that's when I realized for pretty cheap you can build a bike from something that's been abandoned. Now I think a lot of riders experience somebody like, hey, I want to get in riding. Can you help me buy a cheap bike? And this is something I used to get annoyed with because I'd say, well, no. Let me tell you why. If you have $500 to spend on a bike and you're going to buy a $500 bike and it's going to need a lot of stuff, then you're not going to have the extra money to spend on that stuff. Or if you do, you're not going to have money next time the battery runs out or something gets... You know, you need a new chain, you need something, and you're going to leave it parked in the side yard like it was when I found it, you know, and it repeats the cycle. So it just seemed logical to me. If I know how to get these bikes, I see them all the time, I can get these bikes, then I could get somebody to adopt it and they could fix it up. This was my theory. They fix it up, with my help. Now they know how to maintain it, and they're invested in it. So if something goes wrong, they're more likely to either be able to fix it or, you know. So that's when I kind of started putting out the feelers to people. Like, this is my theory. Who wants to do it? And Jackie and Gemma, two of my friends, Gemma who lived here, they're like, yeah, you can do that. And they started helping me work on bikes. Now, none of the bikes got finished, and they weren't really committed, but Gemma realized it was really cool and empowering to learn how to do this stuff. And then somebody said, I know this kid, he's got this motorcycle, and the engine seized up, I think the valve got bent or something. He wants to do it, but he doesn't. He lives in a car, but he doesn't have a place to work. Can I send him to you? Sure, why not? So that was the first guy. I didn't know. That was Jeremy, a.k.a. Pizza Boy. Because he worked at a pizza place. So this guy, good-looking guy, in his 20s, came over, and he started just working here, like, weeknights and weekends for a couple weeks, and he did it. He bought the tools he needed, the, the valve tool. He read the book. He did it with me, just kind of stand behind him and let him use my tools. And then he fixed it up. That's really cool. Like, he did work.
First mission successful.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird letting people you don't know in. But then I found out, like, I like hanging out with him. We were just kind of hanging out, you know? And then he told his friends, his roommates, and they started coming down and just getting word of mouth. And then, you know, I think he sent it on Scott and his C750. If you guys haven't heard the story of Scott, I love this.
No, I haven't.
So, it was Jeremy's roommate. He had bought an old CB750, like that one. And he came down to do some maintenance on it. And he showed up. I'm like, sweet, cool CB750. But there's a problem. I can't let you leave with it looking like that. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, late 70s were cool. To some bikes, and it had those high bars that came up, the like fake Harley bars.
Like on mine?
And it had this two-tier seat with a giant sissy bar. And it just looked bad.
Yeah, that looks pretty
bad. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you leave like that. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, here, and I had an extra seat left over from that bike when I bought all the parts. I took his seat off and I slapped on just a straight stock seat. And now I'm like, here, take your bars off. He goes, no, I really like the bars. I'm like, I don't care. Take the bars off. He's like, no, take the bars off. You work on that. I'm taking the sissy bar off. He's like, no, not the sissy bar. I strap stuff to it. It's like, it's okay. I'll help you get a milk crate. He got the bars off. I had some stock bars sitting around from that bike left over. We put them on. He was stunned. He wasn't used to somebody like barking orders at him and taking control. Like, no, this is
also being right.
Well,
at the end,
he kept arguing, and then he went and wrote it. And the next week, he came back and he goes, "Oh my god, it handles so much better and it's so much more comfortable." I'm like,
yeah, that's one of the three best things about it. Is now that it looks better too.
And I just gave him all that stuff for free. I'm like, here you go. And then another roommate, John, came in, and then another roommate down the road, Clunan, came in, and it just kind of kept trickling, just this word of mouth, people coming in, and I ended up finding out that, like, I had a friendship with all these people. They were the people I was hanging out with. And then, you know, Raven, my best friend, she found me through the garage. Because she had an old bike that needed help working on, and a neighbor of hers had some old bikes. And I had knocked on his door one time to see if he would give them away and left a card. And so when she knocked on his door asking for help, he goes, well, I can't help you, but here, this lady helps people. And I remember Raven came down, and she's still my best friend to this day.
That's pretty awesome.
And I've just found that, like, for me, it seems like, I mean, I'm spend all the money to have all the tools and keep this place going, but I get so much back from it. All of my friends have come from this garage. They're all people that have shown up.
Well, if you put it out there, it's going to come back to you. That's just the way the universe works.
And that brings us to years ago.
I'm not done with you yet.
There are more questions. Yeah, we came up with some
questions. Hit me with your
business. So, one thing I've been wondering for a while. If there was one thing you could do that wouldn't cost you anything, or an addition, or any piece of equipment, one major thing, what would you love to have here?
I want to jackhammer out a big hole and get a hydraulic lift.
I had the same idea the other night. Just put a hole in the floor so you can put a lift right in there.
Well, it's much more complicated than that, because underneath this is just gravel. You would have to dig a big hole, fill it with concrete, mm-hmm. have it be the right height.
But that's a lot better than having, a structure underneath to deal with, like an actual...
It would be a big project to be able to have the lift right there. And be able to... it's a big project. But that's what I would...
That would be the one major thing. Okay. So the other day, we both met here, and we were talking, and you mentioned that you had stopped by on your way home from work at a dealership.
Yeah.
Because you had a wild hair.
I almost did it again today.
What were you thinking of getting that day? What was the first thing that flashed through your mind? And which dealership did you go to?
There's none left here except for that one in Fremont.
Okay. So it was the Fremont Honda Kawasaki, right?
Right.
Okay.
Which, the only bike that I saw at the races that I'm remotely interested in is the Yamaha Triple.
Okay.
But I just wanted to go look at bikes.
Yeah.
Wait, the Monday we went around is like the Ducati dealership
this was Monday.
Closed, so...
What Ducati dealership?
Yeah, you talked about the Ducati dealership.
Yeah, they've all shut down.
Oh, that one's like completely shut down. Not just
the one on the frontage road is
yeah, it's gone.
Done too, huh?
Yeah, they're all gone. But I just but that's how I got my Versus. I went to go look at bikes.
Okay, so next question. What the fuck is up with you and your butt cracks? What's your passion with other people's butt cracks?
It's just funny when people are bending over working on bikes. It's butt crack safari. I like to sneak up behind them and snap a picture.
One of the first games I learned here was you better cover your ass or you're going to get a snapshot taken.
Learned this one very quickly.
It's going to get posted on the Recycle Facebook page. And this was a couple, 3 years ago. So
It's a game.
You remember to pull your boxers up and your pants after a while. Also, the dress-up thing. When there's a newbie here, you make him... You're dressed up in the Super Dave outfit. We have a blue jumpsuit and a helmet with sparkly stars.
You need to get the cape.
I know.
I'm sorry, not Super Dave, but Evel Knievel.
Well, it's part Evel Knievel, part Super Dave.
Okay, and then you have these poor suckers in this full jumpsuit, and they're out there riding a Trail 70 that they're way too big for. I think it's hilarious, but...
That's exactly right.
It's part of the
game. You don't have proper gear? Here, let me get you suited.
That is... Do you guys have any questions for Liza? Any burning issues? No. Okay. That sums up Get to Know Liza.
Well, that now brings us to... All these people have come through this shop. All my... they've all become my friends, and as I started saying a few years ago, this little puppy, Douglas, came to me, tagging along with his then girlfriend Jennifer, who had a bike she was working on. Actually, tell briefly the story of why her bike needed repair.
Okay, so when we first started hanging out, her bike was at her neighbor's house, who had a friend working on it because of a small electrical issue. There was some methamphetamines involved, and the bike somehow got totally torn into, way past what it was supposed to be, how to fix it. And they gave it back to her, and it never worked. So through her roller derby friends, heard about Liza and Recycle, and just happened to bring it down one day. And I think a few weeks later, we had the thing running, and I had never been riding before, really. And then I started riding her 360.
I remember taking you down to the parking lot.
Yeah.
Did I dress you up like Super Dave?
No, you didn't. I didn't have any gear or helmet or anything. I wore loners and stuff, but that was... And my brother used to let me ride a CBR in high school, but that was, years and years and years ago. So, that was really my first riding experience in California. was just coming here on the CL360 and then going down the street and in circles. And then I think about 3 or 4 months later, right around my birthday, Liza calls and says, "Hey, I just got this GPZ 550 for $400 on Craigslist, and it runs." So,
surprise!
Surprise! You have to pay me for it, but happy birthday!
Because that was one of my early bikes. That had so many GPZ 550s.
It was a steal. It was some dude had it up on UCSC, right?
He bought a new bike, and I just kind of abandoned this, and it wasn't running right or something. It's usually the story, and he just wanted to get rid of it.
Right.
So if you haven't figured out, this is now turning into Get to Know Douglas.
Right.
So, real quick, Douglas has been coming here for, it's like 4 years now?
It'll be four in the wintertime, yeah.
And you quickly picked up on everything and have kind of become... Well,
my father has always had a metal shop. He's a welder, so I've always been familiar with tools.
Right.
Not necessarily mechanics tools, like specialized mechanic tools, but... basic tools, metal tools. I always grew up with that. It was being able to apply that to something that was so cool and so easily accessible, like a motorcycle. You take off the side cover, there everything is, right there. You know, it's a lot different from working on a car or having to, you know, install I-beams in a building like my dad was doing. So yeah, just having an outlet. And, you know, everything I learned about working on bikes has been from Liza.
Well, what pisses me off is now you know more than me. That's hard to swallow.
I wouldn't go that far. I'm not the one who built the chopper.
Well, let's get into some questions and get to know Douglas. So, where are you from?
Born in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Age of 4, moved to Maui, Hawaii. 16 years there. Finished high school. Moved out here a year after high school in 2000. No, 2 years after high school. 2001. I've been here ever since.
So let's talk about, since you've been coming here, what bikes have you gone through?
Okay. Well, the first one I could call my own was a 81 CB400T. Who donated that?
There was one of the girls who had been coming here found it somewhere and brought it in and never worked on it.
So that was, I think they got that the very beginning of when I started coming here. And I was so stoked because it was like my motorcycle. I hadn't even worried about registration yet. And it looked like a piece of crap, but I was so excited that I could call it my own.
Right.
And I was basically told, if you can get it running, it's yours. And I did, and it is.
So it wasn't that simple.
It was not that simple, and I'm still dealing with some issues with that thing. But the major obstacle was there's an advance and a retard mode on the CDI. The CDI was stuck in advance mode, so as it's got a slow start, it was telling the ignition to spark way too early. And then forcing the engine in reverse.
It went backwards.
Before top dead center.
So
and then it was tearing apart the starter clutch, which I had replaced 4 times. And I think I did 4 engine rebuilds on that thing before. All of a sudden, Adrian, vice president of the Van Hunters, came by. And we're talking about it. He's like, "No, I bet you're stuck in advanced mode. Get into CDI." $80 later.
This is
real! Oh my god, we're going to tell my head up 2 years.
So let me take a little sidebar here. That reminds me of two things. One, how many of the people come in and help us, which I'll bring up a lot of those people again, but how important that is that other people come in and how you become one of the people who helps others. And second, these bikes that we get, their basket cases, are the perfect thing because you may have to pull the engine apart 4 times, but guess what? You learn how to rebuild
an
engine.
Yeah,
now
I know how to do an engine. You know, I can do it.
And that's why I keep telling people, think of it, it's really more about the journey than it is about the product.
And it makes it all that much sweeter when I get to ride it, too.
Yeah, and it's a
feeling of self-fulfillment that you get when you're able to start it up and just go whenever you want and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I know there were times you wanted to just give it the boot.
So many times. And I just hear my dad saying in my head, don't give up on it. You'll get it. You'll get it. You'll get it. Don't give up. And I've stuck with that, and it's shown. It's proof. Yeah. Proof's in the pudding.
So after that, so you
get... During that CB400 fiasco, I got the GPZ 550, which I rode for, I think, a year and a half.
Which is say you still have the CB400.
I still have the CB400, and then I got the GPZ, which was my main bike. I rode that for a year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And then my buddy Duncan wrecked his car, and he's like, I need something cheap to get around on. I said, hey, get a motorcycle. So he's thinking about getting a motorcycle, and we go up to the Fremont Honda Kawasaki to get gear for him. And I sit on this Ninja ZX7R, and I fall in love. And then I borrowed some money from a friend, and like I think a week later we were on our way back up to the dealership with cash in hand, and I went home with it that day. And it's been the
fun. You found out it was a different color, though.
Yeah. The dealership was dark, and so I'm sitting on it, and it looked black. It was like shiny black. And then I get it outside, because they wouldn't let you test ride it or anything. They wouldn't let you start it. I was just so excited, because this thing was fucking mean.
Right.
And I paid the guy cash. He came out on his day off, and I bought him a bottle of tequila, because I guess he was missing church or something. And I get it outside. I'm like, dude, this fucking thing is purple. It's sparkly. And also, it's loud as hell. It had a Muzzy pipe on it. It was a 4-to-1 Muzzy pipe. So it's loud as hell, and it's purple. But I didn't care. I thought it looked cool, and I sounded cool. I still have the bike. It's still my main bike.
And then you got...
And then I now also have a DRZ 400 Supermoto.
You also had the Sabre, right?
I had the Sabre for a little while. I never really rode that thing, though. I kind of just I bought it, and then I spent a little bit of money and time, and then I sold it.
Basically, I just realized I set the example of supporting polygamy with motorcycles. Then I met my next wife, the DRZ.
Right, exactly. So as it is now, it's the ZX7R, DRZ 400, the CB400T. And I got the Trail 70 as well, which lives here.
I'm sorry, I'm such a bad influence, but...
Well, I only need like two or three more. Oh. And then it's complete. The collection's complete.
I know. Yeah.
I need to grow mine in the future.
So,
it's gonna happen.
What's your favorite tool in the shop?
Whatever I have to make.
To get the job done. Handmade tools.
The handmade tools. Like the, what do you call it? The puller. Yeah. We made that thing one day, and that blew my mind. That was so cool.
That you can make a tool.
Yeah. Other than that, I love doing the welder, even though I suck at it.
Yeah, you're still the best in the shop.
Favorite tool? I don't know. Yeah, don't have one.
I think those were two good ones.
Yeah, those are two good ones, yeah.
All right, so let's get to the question everyone gets asked.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been dealing with this question for years now.
Okay, go ahead.
What is your up-the-butt bike?
I don't have one.
That's not true.
I have four up-the-butt bikes.
Now, are you saying you take out the butt four times for each bike individually, or...?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to pick it and keep it... That means a lot for the bike, right? This whole up the butt idea to me, this should be something that is not obtainable for you in everyday life, or that you couldn't save up for. This has to be something like hundreds of thousands of dollars that you
solid gold,
or you know, some mystical fictional.
For me, it's like something you're willing to give up.
If you say something like, "Oh, I want a KZ1000 old police bike with a you know bobbed out," you can do that. So why should
everybody has a price? What it depends. How much pride are you willing to give up? You know, that's it for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I just never really fell into that.
All right, what's your dream bike? I won the lottery. I got all the money. I'm going to go buy this.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe a newer ZX?
I'd probably just trick out one of mine with everything that you can do for it. I'd probably trick out the Supermoto.
We're going to work on that wish list. So, I wanted to continue a bit just about the shop. Something that happened recently. Well, I mean, it's happened over the years, but we get people who come through the shop and we help them out. Some of these people come once and leave, you know, say thanks and leave and never see them again.
A lot of people come in.
Some people stay and become part of this group and this community. And I mean, really, this is where we got the name Motorcycles and Misfits. We have this social group that has developed from this garage of people who are from all different ages and everything. I mean, we're just a bunch of misfits all thrown together with this passion, and we all enjoy it. But I was talking with David, a.k.a. Donut, last night, whose bike broke down, and his chain came off, and he needed help. He calls me, and I'm not around. Called Douglas. You didn't answer. He calls me back. Calls Zoe. Zoe's available. She'll come open up the garage. And, you know, this network of people will help you out, whatever you need. He manages to get his bike here, and he leaves it, and he has to go to school. By the time he comes back to fix it, Megan and John had stopped by the garage, found this bike and all the pieces, and just put it back together for him.
It was fun.
And he left a message with you, Douglas.
Right, yeah. Well, throughout the day, he had been texting me, too, to see if I could come by and help him put his bike back together. But I was working, and I actually went and found his bike on my lunch. And he was not there, so I had to go back to work. Oops. And finished out the day. But then later on, he's texted me, you know, they put it back together for me. And he said, you know, Doug, I don't want to sound cheesy, but, you know, this has been, like, the best day I've had in a really long time. And I just have to owe it to the Recycle family and just the generosity, you know, giving without even thinking of getting anything in return. That's kind of all we do here. I said, David, you know, that's just how we are, man. Welcome to the family.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just pass it on. I was helped at one time. I help people. You were the recipient of that. Now you help people.
I wouldn't even be riding if I didn't find out about this place.
And it's something I'm just always
a lot richer.
Trying to communicate to people. I want to inspire other people to do the same. If you have a garage, if you have space, if you have tools, I can't tell you how enriching my life has been in ways I never would have expected.
And if you're thinking about, if you're worried about theft or strange people coming into your, we've only had one instance, and this is recently, where somebody had poured out oil from a quart and then put gasoline back in the quart of oil. That is that I know of, unless Liza can shed some light. Have you ever had any problems with theft or?
No, I mean, people put a tool in their back pocket.
And then accidentally, forget. Yeah.
I've had tools go missing.
Would do that.
Magically, they reappear 3 months later. Yeah. I think they've been with you.
Where's usually the 8 socket? But no, we've only had one thing, and no one's really fessed up to the oil and gas thing yet, but
And I hear Donut has just pulled up, so we'll get him to come in.
It's Donut. It's right time.
There he is.
We were just talking about you and your sentiments about how your bike, you broke down and you reached out.
We're recording right now.
Yeah, I broke down yesterday. And through the craziest events, everyone in the club came together. Everyone in Recycle came together and helped me out.
In one way or another.
And kind of like unspoken, but like I didn't know that he got your message and he went out riding looking for you.
Yeah, he sent me text. He goes, hey, I messed your bike.
Where's your chain?
Immediately after, like right before, John had just randomly showed up.
I just missed you.
Yeah, you just missed me. Yeah,
I had a nice ride on my lunch. It was fine. I can't complain. I was just going to sit there and watch golf, I think, in the break room. I got to ride the supermoto for a little bit.
Well, when you last night were saying to me that how you really appreciated everything we do, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, I know, you know, we all enjoy it, you know. We all look forward to getting together on Sundays. And I swear you almost teared up.
Yeah, I did. No.
It was sweet. It did touch me. I want you to know, I'm not an emotional person, so I was like, yeah, okay. But I thought about it, and that's why we're doing a podcast tonight, because of your story and John, whose email I'm going to read, that I want to let people know how much we get out of this. I told you last night the history, and we already covered that in the podcast of how I came to do this, but I'm trying to convey how much I get out of it, and just by something like that message that you had, and it's not just working on bikes.
Not at all, no. It's the atmosphere, it's the people, it's the acceptance, it's everything.
It's also, I see people are empowered by learning how to do things. I always say I don't teach repair so much as I teach tools. Here's the tools, figure it out, give it a shot. Once you're shown tools and then you have variations of tools, and you realize just a variation of a tool can be all the difference to getting that nut off or getting that part out. Oh, sorry.
Yes, I had to.
But yeah, we're all touched by your sentiment, and
you guys changed my life.
We all understand that. I want to read John Vivian. He came to us the other week, and Douglas, you helped him mostly his bike that he had just got for $1.
$1. It was 88. What was it?
FZ600. He pushed it here. No, we didn't push it here. He got towed from the mini bike, and he didn't expect that you would have it running by the end of the day, and he would ride it home.
Yeah, he rode it home.
So I wanted just to read what he posted. Hey, I just want to extend a hearty thanks to all of you guys. I met a really great group of down-to-earth folks and had a blast being there with you guys for most of the day. Can't wait to see everybody next week, and hopefully Dave and I will get to race without any pesky police intervention. Special thanks to Doug, the man single-handedly got my bike up and running, was on the ball enough to spot my fuse box issue, which he helped me replace today. Going so far as to accompany me to the store, helped me to install the box and solder all the wires back into place. All that, and he only accepted chorizo as a thank you. He's awesome.
That was some good chorizo, too. Delicious.
Yep. I can tell you, I mean, just from, I'm going to speak for you on this behalf. I just get pride in seeing somebody get a bike running and knowing what that means to them, and providing that spot. And so for me, I teach people how to do stuff, and then I call it the trickle down. Then I get those people. I mean, Megan's out there helping people, showing them how to do stuff now. And you, Zoe, are getting to that point. And you'll get there too, where you're going to be the guy showing people. I wanted to cover Zoe real quick.
I'm glad you did. Not sure that I'm glad.
Because you've been coming here just a few months now, right?
I think it's been a good 6+ months.
Has it already?
Yeah, it has.
And now you sleep in the corner.
Yeah, no, I sleep in the No, I am responsible for your awesome computer stuff.
We do have a great digital console here.
Yeah.
Which, this and a lot of the garage runs on this too. We've got a monitor donated by Evelyn. We have a computer donated by Eason. A lot of these parts and that we have here were things that were donated. The mini fridge was donated. A lot of parts, bikes are donated. I've got gear that gets donated, and last week
I got a new helmet out of it.
You've got 3 new helmets.
Oh, I got a full tracksuit, brand new. The dude wore it once or something and didn't want it.
People donate.
And I tried it on. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah,
it's a birthday to me, yeah.
People donate gear to me knowing that I'm going to give it out to somebody who needs better gear. So last weekend I went around doing like helmet and
I got a couple pieces, yeah.
I had glove checks on everyone, and I found new guy Winslow had a shitty helmet. So it's like I just went in and grabbed it.
We got John some gloves too, didn't we?
You got a pair of gloves.
He got a pair of gloves. I'm sewing them for him this Sunday.
That's right.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of this happens from donations, and the way this keeps going is that everyone pitches in and helps.
And it's all word of mouth, too.
So you're saying you've been coming here a few months, and came here just... Now, you were awkward, there's people I don't know, and...
I was super awkward, but...
And how did we, how good we were inviting you in, or did we dress you up funny?
You didn't
Super Dave.
See, I ended up needing help fixing my friend's special on the chat that I had at the time. And took it down to Wayne, a local guy, and he quoted me a price that made me be like, well, shit. What am I going to do now? And he gave me Liza's name. But even before that, I'd heard about Recycle Garage, the Facebook page, and I had seen the booth down at Vice on the Bay previous year. So I thought, well, I guess now's the time. So I sent Liza a message on Facebook, and she said, come on down, take a look at it.
Now, let's talk about, you said now's the time. So you knew about this place really well. I like to say that you weren't ready for this.
Yeah, I have major social anxiety. I still do, to a good extent.
But now you're like the social butterfly here. You're the center of it all.
No, not on me. I got blue hair.
That's your power hair.
And now the awesome recycle.
Yeah, did you see this?
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Is that up on the Facebook page?
It is.
Zoe got a tattoo of the shop logo.
I believe this is the first complete tattoo of the shop logo.
It is. I had a partial.
Yeah.
I have the motorcycle tire with the wings, which is a standard old logo.
Yeah.
And I have the recycle logo with two recyclers around it. So my wings are blue, your wings are yellow.
Golden.
I decided anyone would get the tattoo, just a different color would mean
badass. Badass.
But the tattoo came at a neat point. I ended up selling my shadow. At this point in time, I've been here for a good, 6 months, and I just sold the bike a week ago. I don't know, I just started wrenching around on different bikes, helping Liza out on different stuff, becoming more and more proficient, and, I don't know, coming here, I got the opportunity to sit on different motorcycles, feel what fits me better, I was running a cruiser, and I think I was one of the very few people that had a cruiser around here. I know my experience with motorcycles went to riding and just getting comfortable on motorcycles, to wrenching on motorcycles, and increasing my skill level riding motorcycles, too. And a great community of people, too.
Our extended community of the Vampire Motorcycle Club.
Bunch of great guys.
Well, I want to also mention, we've got Rich, who supplies me with parts and tires, and then I got the other Rich who changes people's tires. And we do have Wayne and Jim, the local mechanics, who
Rich patched my tire the other day for $12.50.
Yeah,
nice.
You just take the tire off.
Wayne and Jim, who are mechanics, who sometimes refer people to us when they have people who can't afford to do it, but I also go pick their brains, and there are times I take my bikes to them or send people to them to have stuff done. If it gets a little too much, can't figure it out, you're stressing out, give them the work. Yeah. So it works hand in hand. Zoe, do you feel like you fit in here?
Yeah, I think so. We're misfits. We all have our own thing going on. We all have a passion for motorcycles, so... It fits. I enjoy it.
And what are you going to tackle next?
My CVR 600. I've got it all planned out. I did some mock-up work. I did a parts list.
prioritize the parts list, and doing a build form right now in the CBR forums so people can chime in and help me out on it. I want to turn it into a cafe Street Fighter. That's kind of a unique style.
Now, I said that a year ago you wouldn't have been ready for this. Do you agree with that statement? You're shaking your head.
Yeah, I don't think so. I have major social anxiety. I mean, it's been clearing up. It's something that I've been seriously dealing with lately.
Since you've come here, I've watched you blossom. Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Like the show.
Okay.
And yeah, you definitely, I mean, definitely more socially have come out, and yeah, just to see you helping people now is so cool. And just a small amount of time,
yeah,
you've gotten more and more competent.
None of this would be happening if you didn't start showing up either.
Yeah,
see the podcast.
We wouldn't be doing the podcast.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Feel part of it.
You made it possible.
I mean, I only met you pretty recently, right?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have been able to tell that you had serious social anxiety.
So. Like I said, I've been working on it.
No, it's awesome. I mean,
but yeah, no, it's been a good outlet for me. Like motorcycles and the garage in general, and the community. I mean, it's something special.
Let's talk about community. For most riders, well, except for Douglas, because you were born into this community, but I believe for us three here, David, Zoe, and I, you start out as a solo rider. You're doing it just for you. And you're not even really aware of this community that's out there. But that's something that also that I found I'm able to kind of give and introduce people to the community. And Douglas is now a patch-wearing member of the Vampires. And
suckers.
Really, it's when you try to explain it to people, they just don't get it. Like, I was trying to tell my mom the other day about it, and I said, well, here's an example. I went on a ride like a month ago, and I met this guy at the gas station. We started talking, and he had a KTM. He handed me the keys to his KTM and said, hey, take it out. Go for it. And I was like, Mom, if you saw someone with a car that you were ogling, would they really give you... Do you think they'd give you the keys to their car and let you take it for a joyride? Like, it's just a different... It's just different.
Yeah,
you know?
We all enjoy motorcycles. We all enjoy the...
Unless you... You know, it was just... That was a cool experience for me. And that's when I really realized it really was... It is a unique community. Motorcycles are. So this guy just threw his keys to me. It's like, okay, cool.
So you tell him you've only been riding for a few months? No,
I did not.
I did not specify.
I didn't crash it or anything, but yeah.
Just be scratched again.
It's kind of a dirt bike. It's scratched again.
So, David, I had a quick question for you.
Yes.
You had said when you first met us that you said, this is exactly what I was looking for?
Yeah, you guys accepted. Okay, this is a little squishy, mushy. But, like, I could feel the love the moment I walked in. You know, the first time I met you guys was on the dark ride, the night ride. And I just walked into the group, or drove into the group, and you're all there, and I could just feel your love. And then when I came down to the shop, it was the exact same thing.
That's right, you were like a tag along. You just like saw us riding out.
Yeah, you were just getting coffee.
Yeah, it was exactly like that. And I haven't found that anywhere else. I mean, nowhere. And so.
Now, how long have you been down here in Santa Cruz?
Down here in Santa Cruz, 4 years now. Total, yeah.
But you don't have any riding buddies?
I have some riding buddies, but it's nothing the same.
So you're getting fast track to learning about this community.
Yeah.
I mean, but we also go to bike shows and...
We go to races, we go to bike shows, races. We go to swap meets, we go to pick and pulls sometimes.
I want to go to a pick
and pull. We do all kinds of shit.
Yeah,
And then we host them sometimes too. Like, we got the open house come up on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Just a few days from now.
But then I find too that I'm taking people to musicals or, you know, movies or
going out to dinner after.
Going out to dinner, yeah. And it becomes a social thing. So it really is much more than just wrenching, but.
That's kind of the hub.
For Zoe and David and all the other people who, you know, share that sentiment, you know, thanks, and then keep coming back and become a part of this. That means a lot. I like helping the people who come once and leave and never see them again. That's great. They always know they can come back. But what truly makes us and what perpetuates it are the people who come back and give by helping, by, you know,
donating
and
time
doing
or things.
Yeah, and I mean
anything.
Diet Coke is always good.
Exactly.
Naked pictures are good too.
Yeah. 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 We covered the butt crack.
You can email those to our email.
Send your naked photos.
Motorcycle Garage.
So, I pay for this out of pocket, but I've gotten the expenses way down. I mean, I buy new tools every now and then, but for me, with everybody who pitches in and donates everything that I'm able to disperse back out there, it's so worth it for me. But there is big news. We have our first sponsor.
Oh, awesome. What?
Moto Bandito.
Oh, man, Moto Bandito. I've heard about these guys.
Moto Bandito.
We've been cracking up for a while.
They have these amazing accessories that we've just discovered, and we're going to be reviewing them and checking them out and sharing them with everyone.
Yeah, they're pretty much startup. They're only available online as of now.
Nice.
So, Douglas, you want to tell us about one of the products yet? Are you checking them all out first? Or are we going to wait till next time when we've reviewed it?
Yeah, we're gonna work.
Okay, so that's our big news, that we have a sponsor, Moto Bandito, and we are going to be reviewing the products and sharing our info on them. But they've got some amazing stuff in there. So on that note, let's wrap this up. I want to remind people, go to recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com. If you would like to email us, tell us your story. Or if you have questions, want to know how to open up your own garage like this and to help others, I'm more than happy to share that with people. Great.